بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We praise Allah, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we thank Him, and we bear witness that there is no deity but Him. There is no one worthy of worship except Him. And that Prophet Muhammad and Jesus, peace be upon both of them, were His prophets and messengers. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon them, their household, and those who follow them until the Day of Judgment. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Today we will start a new series of talks, which talks about what did the world lose? What did the world lose due to the fall of Muslim Ummah? The fall of Muslim Ummah has implications far beyond. The fall of Muslim Ummah as a righteous superpower has implications far beyond and much more than the implication of the fall of other nations. So many nations in the history of humanity did rise up and survive for a certain period of time, and then they fell down and collapsed. Those nations, the fall of those nations, they didn't have any serious consequences on the history or on the humanity. The humanity didn't lose almost anything for the fall down and the collapse of these a materialistic-based superpower. But the Muslim Ummah, as a righteous superpower, that as a superpower that guarded righteousness and guarded moral values and justice and protected weak nations and weak people from the exploitation of strong nations and strong people, as an Ummah that has offered so much guidance and enlightenment to the entire world, the fall of such an ummah from being a righteous superpower, from its position as a righteous superpower, has so many implications and so many losses are happening because of the fall of Muslim Ummah. When the materialistic based superpowers fall down and seize power and existence, humanity doesn't lose anything. Why? Because those nations, what do they have to offer to humanity? Mainly, they offer to humanity slavery and oppression. Mostly, those materialistic-based nations or materialistic-based superpower have a mission which is basically to exploit the weak, either to exploit the weak, for example, capitalism, where it is based on exploiting the weak, or to demonstrate the superiority of one race over all other races, such as what Hitler did, for example, to demonstrate the superiority of the race of his people over all other races. Basically, those nations are established to exploit to either one of those purposes, either to demonstrate the superiority of one race or to exploit weak nations and steal their wealth because they can't live on their own resources, or they want to provide strong economy to their own people, so they exploit weak people, exploit weak nations, and corrupt their lives, and keep them poor, corrupted, and divided, so that they are easy to control, and easy to manipulate, and easy to be exploited. And then take their wealth away from them, take their national wealth away from them, and exploit it, and to provide rich, luxurious economy to its own people. This is the main mission for any materialistic superpower. And look and examine the history. Starting from the Roman Empire, to the Persian Empire, to all these kinds of materialistic-based superpowers that have appeared during the history of mankind. If I ask you a question, what did the world lose due to the collapse of the Soviet Union, for example? What would be the answer? The world lost nothing due to the collapse of the Soviet Union. Actually, to be honest, it was a relief. It was a good thing. It was a relief for the weak nations who have suffered the slavery and oppression by the Soviet Union. And it was a relief for the citizens of the Soviet Union themselves, who have suffered from the slavery and the oppression of communism for so long and for so many years. So it was a relief, not that the world didn't lose anything, but also that the world gained by the fall of these materialistic-based superpowers and materialistic-based powers that had materialistic objectives, where they used to make decisions and to take actions based on strategic interest, based on materialistic reasons to bring money or to make the economy stronger or to take control of the wealth of other people or to exploit other nations. On the contrary, the Muslim Ummah has a lot to offer to humanity, not only in this life, but also in this life and in the hereafter. The Muslim Ummah is the only Ummah that has the truthful baggage, the baggage of truth, the baggage that is free of changes, manipulation, myth and superstition, the baggage that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the baggage that brings righteousness and brings justice and brings happiness to all humanity. It is the baggage of life, the baggage that provides balance between things that humans failed to bring into balance, provides balance between what is materialistic and what is spiritual, provides balance between the science and the religion that seems to conflict for so long. Now the Muslim Ummah provides the balance between them, provides the balance between power and moral values, provides the balance in every and all aspects of life, and provides righteousness and guidance to humanity. This is the fall of this Muslim Ummah who has this truth, the fall of its individual who are supposed to be righteous individuals, who stand up for righteousness and stand up for these values. This is a big loss to all humanity, not only to the Muslims, but to all mankind. If we would like to examine, in order to appreciate the subject, which is to examine, you know, what did the world lose due to the fall of Muslim Ummah, we need to examine two points of the history. The first point of the history is the point of the mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is Prophet when Prophet Muhammad was sent as mercy to mankind. And the second point of the history is our modern time, after the fall of Muslim Ummah. So, in our modern time, where the Muslim Ummah ceased to be a righteous superpower, where Muslims lost the righteousness, and as a result, Allah punished them by taking away power from them. So, when they lose to be righteous, Allah will make them cease to be a power. And this is a punishment dedicated, that Allah dedicated on the Muslim Ummah, that they cannot be powerful unless they stand up for righteousness, and they stand up for whatever is righteous. So we lost our righteousness and Allah took away the power from us and made us at the tail of the caravan of the humanity instead of being a righteous superpower. So by examining the condition of the world after the collapse of the Muslim Ummah as a righteous superpower and what the world has suffered and the change that happened in the world before and after, we can appreciate what did the world lose due to the fall of Muslim Ummah. And by examining the point of history where the Prophet Muhammad was sent, by examining the condition of the world before and after, by examining what kind of changes Prophet Muhammad has produced in the world, in the ancient world, then we can reach to a very simple conclusion. What did the world gain due to the mission of Prophet Muhammad? And what did the world gain due to Islam? Gain due to the spread of Islam, this beautiful package designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just think about it. It's not a man-made designed package. No, it is designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any man-made package of life or system of life is always designed to serve the best interest of a specific group of people. Either those who own the power or those who own the money. For example, capitalism is designed to serve the best interest of the people who own the capital or who own the money. And it gives them the power. Communism is designed to serve the people who control the government and make them small gods and so forth and give them so much power and control and so forth. The only package of life or the only system of life that is designed to be fair to everyone is the package that is designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring happiness and justice. because it's among his attributes that he's the most just and the most fair. And he, this package of Islam is the one designed by Allah to show and to make us enjoy his fairness and his justice and bring happiness, not only in this life, but also in this life and in the hereafter. So let's start by, you know, by the first point quickly. Take a glance, quick glance on the first point. What did the word gain due to the mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Many people, it is not a surprise that if Muslim historians and intellectuals do declare that the word gained a lot due to the mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not a surprise. And it's not a surprise to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the Quran that وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have sent you for no other reason except as a mercy to mankind. And it's not a surprise to see Allah also saying that I have sent you to take people out of darkness and to bring them into light. That's not a surprise. But what is surprising really is to see the non-Muslims who don't believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet and messenger of Allah, who don't believe in God sometimes to start with. Those people who make write books and make comments about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those intellectuals and historians. Let's pick one intellectual and one historian, just to demonstrate the idea. The intellectual is Michael J. Hart, the one who authored the book called The Greatest 100 Men Who Have Influenced the History of Humanity, and he ranked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as number one. When he ranked him as number one, he said he has created a lot of influence. He has reformed the whole world that was, you know, struggling with all kinds of injustices and slavery and myth and superstition and all of that. And from his perspective, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has produced such a change and have achieved such a success. What is the secret of success? From his point of view, the secret of success wasn't because Prophet Muhammad is a messenger and prophet from Allah, but it was because Prophet Muhammad is a charismatic, great leader. And he counted the aspects of greatness in the personality of Prophet Muhammad. He said that Prophet Muhammad is a great military leader, is a great spiritual leader, is a great social leader, is a great military leader, is a great leader in so many areas of life. And he's so charismatic, and this is why he was able to achieve such a success. And he was able to produce such a change in such a very short period of time. And that was his, you know, interpretation of the success of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he failed to explain how would one man produce such a success and other intellectual people, other charismatic people, other great people who have lived all over the history of humanity at all times and all places were not able to achieve such a success in such a period of time. There's no explanation of that. And they are not able to produce a system of life that has 1,500 million followers in today's world, and to save the entire ancient world from absolute darkness and absolute misery. He failed to explain that. And indeed, the secret of success of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was because he is a prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the historians, there is one historian that his name doesn't come to my memory now. What he wrote about Prophet Muhammad was very strange. He said that if I'm not a scholar in history, if I don't know for sure and I have enough historical facts and evidence to prove that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has achieved such accomplishments, I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe it at all because it's unbelievable. He said, how can he take the Arabs, who are divided tribes, who used to invade each other and kill each other and steal each other wealth and kill each other men and slave each other women and children? The Arabs who used to bury their baby daughters, the pre-Islamic ignorant Arabs who used to bury their own baby daughters alive. Have you ever seen an animal burying his own baby daughter alive? It hasn't. I mean, I haven't seen an animal who did bury his baby daughter alive. The Arabs did it. The Arabs who used to bow down to images made of stones and consider them as gods. The Arabs that had nothing to offer to humanity except the myth and superstition of paganism. And they had nothing except desert. They had nothing, nothing to offer to humanity at all at that time. How can he take those people and in a period of 23 years, which is barely enough to build the bridge at that time, convert them from such a miserable condition into a righteous superpower who was able to lead the whole world into the path of righteousness, who was able to bring the whole entire world from darkness into light, who was able to bring justice and spread righteousness and moral values and civilize the values with the entire world? How could he achieve such a success in such a period of time using such a miserable start to start with? And then he continues to say, without Quran and without Islam, the Arabs and the Arabic language would have disappeared long time ago. He said the only thing that guarded the Arabic language was Quran. And the only thing that guarded the Arabic race or the Arabians was Islam. Because other than that, the Arabs would have deceased and, you know, killed each other probably or got buried somewhere in this desert. And they would have disappeared from the history of humanity because they had absolutely nothing to offer to humanity. Because of Islam, they survived. And because of Islam, the Arabic language, which is the language, has survived. So that was his interpretation. And then there was one historian that I know personally who said something very touchy and very amazing. He said that I have no doubt that Prophet Muhammad is a sincere person. And this person doesn't, he said, I don't believe in God at all. Not to mention believing that God sent messengers. I don't believe that God does already exist in the first place to start with. But I believe that Muhammad is a sincere person. And the reason is, he said, because he insisted on maintaining a poor lifestyle. And he rejected at all having any kind of rich or royal lifestyle. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lived as a poor and he died as a poor. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إني داع فقولوا آمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين رب أذل الشرك والمشركين دمر اللهم أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم عليك بمن عاد الإسلام وحارب المسلمين اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وأقم الصلاة.